I do what I do because I've seen God's power transform my own life, and He will do it for you. The key to everything is found in God's Word. I'm Joyce Meyer, and I believe that God can heal you everywhere you hurt.
Welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life. Now, what happens when life doesn't go as planned and you are completely thrown for a loop? We have all been there. I know I certainly have. And Joyce had an experience like this not too long ago. It was serious. And believe me, she didn't like it one bit. None of us do. But in the end, she learned a lot through it. And we can too, especially as she shares her story and we can discuss it together. So get comfy because we are about to talk it out. Hey everybody, welcome to Talk It Out. We are back and we are thrilled to be here. This is where all of us girlfriends, we sit down, we talk about life and God's Word and how it applies to everything that we're going through. We have our friends, Erin Clutley here with us, the one and only Joyce Meyer.
Yay.
I'm Ginger Stocky, and we're so glad to have you here with us. We've got some changes, obviously, with the podcast coming back after a very nice summer break.
Yeah.
I had to be careful when I say a summer break to Joyce. I'm sorry.
Don't use the word break with me.
No. A summer hiatus.
Yeah.
That's better. Today, you're going to get the whole scoop from Joyce herself. She's going to fill you in on what her summer's been like and what's been going on. We're calling it the fall of Joyce Meyer.
Thank you. But I did not fall into sin. That's not the kind of fall it was.
We are going to clarify very clearly, but if you're here because you saw that title, welcome. We're glad you're here.
Yeah.
But we're really going to talk about a lot of things that you learned through an experience of having some downtime. Downtime's maybe not the right way to say it either.
Quiet time.
That's really good. But we also have, as we're beginning to talk it out again, we have some changes and some new things that are happening. We're gonna miss our friend Jay, but we have a lot of great guests who are going to be here with us.
Yeah. Yep.
Some new things that we're starting. We're going to start a reoccurring topic for quite a little while, talking about what are you thinking, and just really focusing on the mind and how changing our thoughts, that battlefield in the mind that we all need to win.
Yep.
So we also have a new thing that we're going to do at the end of every Talk It Out called Walk It Out. And we're going to help you dig in a little bit deeper and take what we've talked about and really apply it. Maybe think about it a little bit longer. Meditate on God's Word.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to all this.
Yeah. Well, good. Good.
It's going to be fun, too, to get to hear from some of our friends, too. And just, I think, over the years we've been doing Talk It Out, it's been fun to hear how people are saying, oh, I relate to that, too. I have the same questions. So getting to hear from our friends who are listening and hear what they're asking, how they relate, and hear what God's doing is going to be really special.
Yeah, we're going to be having a lot of questions from you that are coming from comments and social media. So that'll be really nice,
I think, too. Can I share one now as we're starting?
Of course.
Directed towards Joyce Meyer herself, but it's not a question yet. We won't tell you that.
Okay.
It's more a statement of love for you. Actually, I have a few. I'll just pick one for now. Natalia says, sending hugs and love to you, Joyce. God is working behind the scene for your speedy, complete recovery. Many are praying for you, and we know that God listens and promises to answer when we pray. Watching your program every day from the Woodlands, Texas. Much love to you. And one more. Linda says, praying for you and your quick 100% healing in Jesus' name. May you be comforted with all of the comfort you have freely given all of us in all of these years, Joyce. We love you.
I appreciate that.
Isn't that sweet?
And all the prayers really meant a lot to me. That's really what keeps us going in difficult times.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think I want to start what I want to say today by just saying you never know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't want to wait until you have a problem to get strong in God.
Mm-hmm.
You want to stay strong. And I think that's very important for people to hear, because a lot of times when things are good, we kind of get lazy about our routine with God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then all of a sudden when you have a problem, you find time to pray, you find time to spend time with Him, you know, you find time to listen to the Word. So in the days that we're living in, especially, the closer we get to the end, the more the devil's going to attack. And we really need to make sure that we stay strong in the Lord.
Yeah.
All the time. Mm-hmm. Because I certainly wasn't expecting what I got, but I'm really glad that I already had a good, strong relationship with God mm-hmm. that got me through it
yeah.
in victory.
Yeah. Tell everybody what happened.
Well, I went in to have a minor back surgery called a laminectomy because I had some stenosis in my spine. Sometimes as you get older, your spine will start to close up in areas, and if it's pressing on nerves, it can really cause a lot of pain. Mm. And I had one of those about 10 years ago in just one spot, but I had three spots that were pressing on nerves. And so it was supposed to be a two-week recovery, and it was the
outpatient surgery.
Outpatient surgery. And so I waited a little while, and all of a sudden I got in the worst pain I think that I've ever had in my life. Mm. It was worse than having a baby.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
My family said, and I don't even remember this, that's how bad it was. My family said I was down on the floor on my hands and knees just yelling, you got to get me to the hospital. So what had happened, which we didn't really know until the next morning, was I had developed a blood clot at the surgery site. And that blood clot, I guess, was keeping blood from getting to my right leg or something. And so my back and down my bottom and all down my right leg was just so painful.
Yeah.
The next morning, they did an MRI. I was in the hospital. Mm-hmm. They did an MRI and saw the blood clot, took me right into surgery again. But now, whatever trauma it did to my right leg, I couldn't pick my leg up that far.
Wow.
I mean, I just had zero strength
yeah.
in that leg. So I stayed in the hospital for about 3 days, and then they transferred me to a rehabilitation hospital where I stayed for 14 days, and I did 3 hours of physical therapy a day. One was occupational therapy to teach you how to, you know, which I told them I didn't need too much of that, but because I don't do too many dishes anyway because I don't cook. And occupational therapy, like, teaches you, you know, how to take care of yourself if you're sure. if you're injured. And I said, I got a husband.
He can take care of that one.
He'll do the occupation. And but then I had 2 hours of physical exercise a day. And it was to get that leg working again. So during those 14 days, one of my kids stayed with me all the time. They took shifts, 4-hour shifts, and they stayed with me all the time. And my family was just so good to me. Mm-hmm. They wanted to make sure that I wasn't there by myself and wanted or needed something and couldn't get it. And so it's great when you have kids that when the chips are down, you know that they're there for
amazing.
You. And they said, we'll do this no matter how long it takes. And so I was there 14 days, and then they're going to send me home. And I actually fell probably 4 times while I was there. Like, because my leg just didn't have any strength. And I was on a walker, but if I, you know, like, they have to teach you how to go up steps. And a couple of times I fell trying to do that. And then the day I was going home, I actually fell while they were wheeling me out. So I obviously had a lot of work to do. And so when I got home, I was starting to get better. I was doing physical therapy at home, and I was starting to get better. But I was in my closet, and Dave was with me, and I was getting ready to change my clothes. And I don't even know how I did it, but I fell. Oh. And I caught both of my feet under my body. When I fell, I was actually sitting on my... So I broke my left ankle, my fibula bone. And so now I can't walk on either leg.
That was your good leg.
Yeah, that was my good leg. And so now I have a good leg that became the bad leg and a bad leg that was already bad.
Yeah.
So back to the hospital we go. They x-ray it. Yep, it's broken. So they put a soft cast on it for 2 weeks or something. And I went back to the physical therapy hospital for 10 more days so they could try to teach me how to get around. I was in a a wheelchair, and then they'd take me down, and I would do physical therapy, and I stayed there 10 days, and then they sent me home, and I went to the orthopedic doctor, and they put me in the pretty gray boot that comes up to your knee. They said, we have three colors. We have gray, and we have gray. Which color would you like? And I said, oh, I'll take the gray.
Good and choice. I like it.
And anyway, this whole scenario took 2.5 months, and by the time I go to the doctor next Friday to get released. But one of the things that I found that was interesting that I think is the result of all the prayers is the physical therapist told me, she said, the rate at which your body is healing, it's responding like a 50-year-old, not an 80-year-old.
Wow.
And so I really, as bad as it sounds, I mean, today I came in here walking on my own two feet, and this is the first day that I've done that I haven't, because I went from a wheelchair to a walker to a cane, which I don't like the cane at all. For some reason, the cane makes me feel older than the walker does. And but I wrote a book during that whole time.
Oh, called, wondering how many
called,
not surprising.
Don't Overthink It.
That's a good book.
And but it was really important to me that I live out what I preach.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
During that time. That just
yeah.
That was just foremost in my mind. It's like, okay, I preach this stuff all the time and tell people what to do when they have trouble. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't really know how things were going to turn out. I mean, the devil puts thoughts in your heads. Well, what if you never can walk right again? What if your leg doesn't heal? What if the nerves in your legs don't heal? Well, what if? And so the mind is a big part of overcoming any problem that you have. And so for all the people listening today, your problem may not be a physical one, but whatever it is, if it's money, if it's marriage, if it's your kids, if it's, we all get in situations where we're in the situation and we don't know for sure what's going to happen down here. Mm-hmm. And you have to really be careful about the what ifs because they're all going to be negative.
Yeah.
And so my thinking, I just all the time thought things like this will end. It's not going to last forever. And one of the things that I did in the very beginning is I said, I have to take this one day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the beginning, 3 months sounds like a long time.
It does.
Yeah.
And they pretty much told me that's how long it would take.
Yeah.
Three. And then, they say that this can hurt on and off up to 6 months and swell up to 6 months. And so, and I noticed like yesterday I went out and did some things and my, foot was hurting by the end of the day. And so it's definitely slowed me down. Mm-hmm. It's taught me to be a little more careful because I probably wouldn't have fallen in the closet if I would have been being a little more careful. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty aggressive, and I know nobody knows that. But
I'm shocked by this information.
Aren't you surprised by that?
I am.
And so I sometimes get a little bit ahead of myself and think I can do things that I can't do. But
like getting out of a moving car because you're almost getting, home?
Yeah. Yeah. Starting to open the car door before we're in the driveway. But my aggressive nature has served me well all these years in ministry. I wouldn't be where I'm at if I didn't have that. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times one of our greatest strengths also becomes our greatest weakness.
Yeah.
So what I have to do is discern the difference between when I really need to be aggressive and when I need to be more careful.
Yeah.
And so I think I've learned to be more careful, to use more wisdom. And I said, I've been quiet for so long that I find now that I'm just quieter. And I've really enjoyed the quiet.
Yeah, a lot of peaceful time.
Yeah,
a
lot of peaceful time. And just, time to think. But I didn't think about a lot of, I just thought about a lot of the stuff that we've gotten to do in ministry and how I just want to keep helping people. And, when you're hurting or you're going through any kind of a situation, like I was down in the exercise room one day at the rehab center, and I was trying to rehab both of my legs, but there was a girl on another table over here who had both legs amputated.
Oh, wow.
And so there's always somebody
that's
got it a lot worse than you do.
Perspective means
a lot.
And if we can do this real quick— You talked about making sure that you lived out your teaching.
Right.
So we want to show a clip where you were talking before all this happened about the importance of being prepared and how you can win a battle before it even begins.
That's good.
And then we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about how all of this works, some more of the things that you've learned and what we can all glean from it.
All right. Proverbs 18:14. Great scripture. The strong spirit of a man will sustain him in bodily pain and trouble. But a weak and a broken spirit, who can raise it up or who can bear it? If we stay strong spiritually, then really no matter what comes against us, we will make it through. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy. That doesn't mean there's going to be no pain involved. But truly, truly, we can do all things through Christ, who is our strength. Yes, you can make it through whatever you're going through right now. And you know what? You can get so strong in spirit that you can be going through really, really difficult things. And while you are, you're still reaching out and helping other people, and they don't even know what you're going through. Did you hear me? We don't have to be the kind of people that every time we have a problem, we fall apart. We can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. But it's going to take some maintenance, some regular doing of what we should be doing, not just waiting until all of a sudden we feel like we're falling apart and quick, trying to get to where we need to be. Ephesians chapter 6 is a chapter in the Bible about how to defeat the devil. And we all love those kinds of messages. Everybody likes to think that they've got the power and they can defeat the enemy. And in Ephesians 6:11-18, it teaches us about putting on the full armor of God and putting on peace and, you know, all the different facets of armor that we can put on, which causes us to be victorious against the enemy. But verse 10 is one that we might not pay as much attention to as we should, and that precedes all the others, and it simply says, be strong in the Lord. Be strong through your union or your oneness or your fellowship with Him. Draw your strength from Him, that strength which His boundless might provides. So the first thing to realize today before we go even further is whatever strength you hope to have in life, it's got to be in God. He is our strength. He doesn't just give us strength, He is our strength. And the minute that you have any sign of difficulty, even before you have difficulty, every day pray early, God, give me the strength today to deal with whatever I need to deal with, because I believe that I can do all things through Christ who is my strength. And I like what the Amplified Bible says about that scripture. It says, I'm ready for anything. I'm equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. Let's be the kind of people that are ready for anything. We don't even know what it is yet, but we're ready for whatever comes our way, and we already know we're going to have the victory before we ever have the problem. What does it mean to be more than a conqueror? I believe that's what it means. That you are so convinced in spirit of who you are in Christ that you already know you're going to win the battle before the battle ever even comes your way.
So, Joyce, how did that knowledge of God's word and who He is, even through this trial, because I know it had to be frustrating, it had to be disappointing at times, how did all of that come into play for you? How did you pull it together?
Well, I can honestly say, and I don't mean it at all in any kind of a bragging or prideful way, I was really content the whole way through the whole thing.
You didn't ever have a moment where you said, oh, for real?
Well, I mean, I'm sure that I did, but they weren't big enough. Wow. I mean, I was so convinced that I would come out good on the end.
Yeah.
And that God would give me the strength to do what I needed to do each day. And, I mean, I could see God at work. He gave me a lot of favor. I had a lot of great nurses and, you know, great people helping, and the way my family responded, and just all of our partners praying for us and the love they were sending our way. And I really saw how all the time you put in with God really does, I don't know, pay off is a good word to use, but you see the results of it then when you have trouble. And that's really the way that Christians should be. The Bible never promises us no trouble. Mm-mm. But what we should be able to do is when we have trouble, is we should be able to go through it pretty much as if we didn't have any.
Yeah.
In other words, to be the same either way. Paul said, I've learned how to be content, whether I'm abased or abounding. And I saw a definition the other day of joy, that it's contentment or a deep satisfaction. And so the joy of the Lord is not, you know, just giggling and laughing and hilarity all the time. It's just having that contentment that you know whatever happens, that God's going to take care of you.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean, because when you say whatever happens, it's not necessarily the things you wanted or would choose.
No.
You had to cancel a conference. I mean, there...
I had to cancel more than one.
Yeah.
And that's the first time in 40 years of ministry that I've had to do that.
Right.
So, other than when COVID was...
Sure.
Yeah.
You know.
So those are things that at first you're maybe like, you know, God, this was for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. How do you reconcile that?
Yeah.
Because what you were supposed to be doing during that time was for him. Like, the conference is
I didn't
to help
try
people.
To reconcile it.
You just let it go.
You know, one of the things that I've, of course, and I've been doing this a long time, so obviously I've learned a lot. There's no point in trying to get answers to questions that only God has that he's probably not going to tell you.
Yeah. Well, there's so much wisdom
you
in
know,
that.
There, I mean, there's so much people, you drive yourself crazy trying to figure stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I wrote a book during this time when I was down. It's called Don't Overthink It.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't be out for couple of years, but we think about stuff and think about it and think about it and think about it, and we get ourselves so confused.
Yeah.
And so I found that just not thinking about it and just dealing with whatever I had to deal with each day.
Day by day.
I mean, there's details to this that, you know, wouldn't be proper for me to tell on TV, but just, I mean, even like I went through these different stages of how I could get to the bathroom. And I mean, everything from sliding out of bed on a sliding board to sliding into a wheelchair to sliding onto the toilet to sliding back. I mean, it was like it was an ordeal just to have to go to the bathroom. And but I just took each thing as it came. And I slept good at night, which I was thankful for.
Yeah.
And I brought my coffee pot up, and I was thankful for that. I had my coffee every morning.
So finding those things to be grateful for in the midst.
I still got up like I do at home, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, had my time with God. And we make ourselves miserable when we have trouble.
We do.
It's not really the trouble that makes us miserable. It's the way we look at it that makes us miserable.